Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
You know, the offering basket is still going by, but just wanted to say thank you so much for spending your last Sunday of 2019 here at Every Nation New York City. With us, Pastor Ron is away. Pastor Nathan is homesick, flew in from Scotland yesterday and is wiped out with the flu, so just be praying for him. And I got in last night about 1 o'clock from a vacation, a little bit of vacation, landed in Newark Airport about 1 a.m. So I'm on fumes right now, but I'm here. That's all that matters, I'm here. I made it. I was just going to ask everybody, did everybody have a good Christmas? Everybody get what they wanted? You know, everybody? Anybody mad because you went over budget? Anybody went over budget? Yeah, me, I did. Kids got me this year. They got me. They're like, Daddy, we got, yeah, we're good. But you know what? I was doing the Christmas Eve service, and you know when you're in the spirit and you're full of faith, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, my kids and I, we just said, you know, we're going to go up to Rockefeller Center. And I was like, yeah, let's go check the tree out, da-da-da-da. So I'm full of faith. I'm excited. But, you know, sometimes you get so full of faith that it becomes crazy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like crazy faith. And I was like, you know what? We're going to go ice skating. We're going to skate right there in Rockefeller Center. We're going to do this thing. And I was all hype. And my kids were looking at me. And my son's like, Dad, I'm not skating. Matter of fact, I need to let you know something, Dad. Black people don't skate. I was just like, unless they're being paid, like PK Subban over here for the New Jersey Devils, but we don't skate. So I'm like, we're going to do it. So I get, you know, I'm walking up the road, and I got my girls with me, and I'm talking just crazy. Like, I can't wait. We're going to do all this stuff. But probably around, you know, I say near juniors there, I think that's, what is that, what street is that, about 9th, 8th, maybe, yeah, around that area, I got scared. Your pastor got scared. All of a sudden, I heard this voice, don't do it. Don't do it. And then I get closer to Rockefeller Center, and it's packed. I mean, it's people everywhere. It's standing room only, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, what was I thinking? And so I start getting closer and closer, and my heart starts pounding. And all I kept thinking about is, like, you're going to fall, and everybody's cameras are going to go out, and they're going to record you, and it's going to go viral. Pastor breaks neck on ice live from New York City. And all of a sudden, my daughters are like, Dad, you're going to do it. We're going to do it. And I get there, and all of a sudden, I look, and there's nobody skating. And I believe that they had closed the rink down just for a little while, so I was free to go, and I didn't have to skate that night. God answered my prayer. So I made it. I'm alive. No broken bones, no ACL, MCL injuries. I'm alive. I'm here. We're going to continue in this sermon series called Casket Empty. It's an acronym, and I'm not going to go into all the acronyms, but the last point we talked about was in exile. We were in exile, and now we're coming into a part where it's the M, where it means Messiah. And Messiah means the promised deliverer of the Jewish nation. It was prophesied in the Hebrew Bible. Messiah means anointed, the anointed one. And, you know, we celebrated Christmas, and we understand from Genesis all the way to Malachi, there was these prophetic words, and there were these little moments in the Bible as you began to realize that they were all pointing to this one particular person and this one particular moment in history, which we celebrated December the 25th, was the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you got to understand that Jesus didn't come to this earth for just any old reason. Yes, we know that it was birthed out of love because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But Jesus came with a mission. And what we're going to learn about is what was that mission and what are the points to a mission. Because before you ever do anything, you got to know what it is you're called to do. We're not here on this planet or this earth just to go through the motion. But each one in this room, each person in a seat this morning has a divine call of why you were born and what you were made for. And Jesus coming to this earth, born in a manger, began to grow up under the submission of Joseph and Mary. And you remember the story when Jesus was little and they had went back to Jerusalem and they lost him in the synagogue because he stayed back and he began to debate the scholars at a young age. And they were astonished at the way he did what he did. But it wasn't Jesus's time yet. And so Jesus had to leave and his mom and dad were mad at him. And so he began to grow. And he began to sit under the submission of his mother and father until about the age of 30. And about the age of 30, Jesus now begins to start his mission. If you remember John the Baptist in the wilderness preparing the way, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, had a baby by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was out baptizing people in the name of God, saying that you need to repent, for there's one coming that you will not be able to stand before. One, I won't even be able to loose his sandals, tie his sandals. And here he is standing there, and he sees Jesus coming, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And then he says that Jesus looks at him and says, "I need to be baptized." John the Baptist says, "No, you need to be baptized in me." But Jesus said, "I'm going to let this happen so that all righteousness may be fulfilled." See, in order to have authority, you got to be under authority. And Jesus was under the Father's authority, and he wanted to make sure that everything that was spoken by the prophets was done. And as Jesus gets baptized, all of a sudden the dove falls on his shoulder in the form of the Holy Spirit, and the heavens open, and this voice comes out, and it says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." God the Father speaking. And it says when Jesus came out of the water that he was led by the Spirit. Say Spirit. See, you got to understand that Jesus didn't just go out into the wilderness to go out in the wilderness. But Jesus was led by the Spirit. I run into so many people that run into so many things and they go into so many places, but they run instead of being led by the Spirit. And so Jesus goes into the wilderness and he's led by the Spirit. And guess who's waiting for him after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and praying? Guess who's waiting for him? The devil himself. And the one thing about the devil is the devil doesn't play fair. He's going to wait till you're tired and you're worn out. Jesus in the wilderness probably having to fight off wild animals to stay alive. And all of a sudden, here he is, and it's all his power and all his glory, Satan himself ready to tempt Jesus. But Jesus, being full of the Spirit, knew how to beat the enemy. And he beat the enemy not by fighting with his hands or trying to do something in the flesh, but no, he beat the enemy by the spoken word. See, if you ever want to win a battle or you ever want to win something when it comes to spiritual things, you have to have something greater and stronger on your side in order to defeat that thing that may be bigger in front of you. Jesus came to this earth with a mission. And we're going to look here in Luke 4, 14 through 21. And now Jesus comes out of the wilderness, and now he's in his hometown, and he's in this synagogue. And think about this. In this synagogue there in Nazareth, you got to understand that Jesus grew up around these people, and it was a custom for him to go in there and learn from them. And each person would take a turn. Maybe somebody would pray. Maybe somebody would read a scripture. And today, Jesus, being able to teach this day, he goes in and they said, "Today, you're going to talk about the prophet Isaiah." And here it is, and starting in Luke 4, verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news spread about him through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth. When he had been brought up, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went in the synagogue, and as was custom, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In verse 20, then he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to his attendant, and he sat down. And he began saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Father, in the name of Jesus, in these brief moments, God, I would ask that, Lord, you would speak to us. I pray, God, that, Lord, as we get into your word, the Lord, you would open our hearts and our minds to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus' mission. This prophecy was spoken hundreds of years before by the prophet Isaiah. If you know anything about Isaiah, Isaiah was always prophesying about the exile and the freedom, and one day we're going to get away and one day we're going to get out. But there was a messianic theme towards the end of it. And what you just read about Jesus, this was who Jesus was called and what Jesus was called to be and do. Jesus was sent to this earth by the Spirit of the Lord and it being upon him. With anointing, Jesus was able to go and do what Jesus needed to do. You can't go anywhere to do a mission without God anointing you and giving you a calling first. My first point is this, is know who you are and what you are called to do. Before you start a mission, you must know who you are and what you're called to do. Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. There was no confusion because the Father had already spoken it publicly. So he was secure in who he was and what he was called to do. But the question I have for you this morning is, do you know who you are as a child of God? When the enemy comes in and starts to torment you and call you less than, or you're going to be just like, do you remember, no, I am a child of God. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Do you remember who you are when difficulty and circumstances hit your life? See, life doesn't define us. We define the situation. And see, the anointing was on Jesus. The anointing was on the prophets to speak the word, but the anointing was on Jesus to take care of it and fulfill the word. And you have to understand that Jesus knew who he was and what he was called to do. It says that he was called by God to set the captives free. To set the captives free. They knew that they were at one time bound up in Egypt. They knew at one time they were bound up in Babylon. And Jesus said, no, you're not just bound up in the physical, but you're also bound up in the spiritual realm as well. And I've come to set you free. See, we can be slaves to sin and not even know it. And these people were slaves to sin. They were bound up from the old things, the old nature, the lifestyle. And Jesus is saying, no, I've come to set you free, not just from a physical point of view, but also from a spiritual point of view as well. And we have to understand today that God is a merciful, kind, loving Father. He does not like to see his children hurting or in pain. And the reason that he sent his son, Jesus, is to set us free. Free from addictions. Free from drugs and alcohol. Free from past hurts and pains. Free from relationships. Free from things that have driven us to our knees late at night. Things that have caused us to want to take our own lives. Things that would try to break us, shake us, and keep us from being the men and women of God that he's called us to be. Jesus has come to set the captives free. And you have an opportunity this morning to be set free, to be liberated, to be released from your past. How many of you want a do-over this morning? How many want to be able to cut some things off from 2019, some things that you wish you hadn't have done, some things you wish you hadn't have said, some things that have held you on? Maybe it goes past 2019. Maybe it goes into 2018 and 17 and 16, things that have torment you in the night, where the enemy comes and tries to remind you of some things that you used to do. But my Bible says in Romans 8:1 that God says that he does not, there's no guilt or condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You have to understand that the enemy, he's a schemer, and we're going to talk about him in a minute, but you got to understand that there's no guilt or condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, it doesn't matter what you've done, what you said. If we are in Christ, then we can be free. We can be free. We can be free, but you have to choose to be free. You can't continue to allow the enemy to replay those old tapes. You can't allow the enemy to continue to talk about the things of the past. You know, I'm quick to shut people down. When people want to talk about things of the past, they'll come in, hey, you remember when? No, I forgot that. Matter of fact, that man is dead. He's buried in the baptisms of water. That old man is gone. He doesn't exist anymore. It's a new creation that I'm walking around in right now. And that's how you have to live, and you have to understand that. It says that he came to open the eyes, open blind eyes. You know, we can walk around and say we have 20/20 vision in the natural, but in the spirit, man, we got scales here. We can't really see who we are. We can't see how people are. That's why when we get into ethnic division and ethnic strife, and we're always looking upon a person. But, you know, I'm not here to judge or to look at somebody and look down on somebody. The beauty of Jesus is Jesus said that he came for the lowly. He came for the ones that were down and out. He came for the ones that needed a physician, the sick. He came for those ones. See, Jesus didn't look with natural eyes. Jesus looked at supernatural eyes, because Jesus knows who we are and where we're going and what we're called to be. He can see exactly who we are and what God has made us to be. And sometimes you could be bound up and you say, you know, Pastor, I look at myself and I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of who I am, and I'm ashamed of what I've become, and I'm ashamed of the things that I've done. But I'm here to tell you this morning, he's come to set the captives free. He's come to open blind eyes so that you can see good and clear into the future and know who God has called you to be and what God has called you to do. He's called you to look at people from his perspective. See, when you get God eyes, your heart breaks for what breaks his. When you look upon Amsterdam housing across the street, do you just kind of look and say, oh, well, that's just another project and keep moving? Or does your heart break and say, Lord, how can we reach the men and women that live in that community next door? When you walk up and down the streets here in New York and you see something, do you see it from a worldly perspective, or do you see it from a godly perspective? Lord, what can I do? How can I participate and get involved as we come into 2020? He said he come to set the captives free and to open blind eyes. It says this, it also, that he's declared an acceptable year of the Lord, the year of liberation. You know, there's something about calling things as though they were when they're not. There's something about being able to see something for what it is and not what it looks like in the natural. And he says, I'm declaring that it's going to be an acceptable year of the Lord. What he's saying is this, is that I love you so much that I'm willing to come from this part of the world and step down into your world and reconcile you and I back together, because I love you deeply. See, that's the beauty of God. God is not going to sit there and wait. He'll come down into your level. He'll get into your stuff. He'll get into your mess. He'll get in your junk, and he'll just sit there with you. How you doing? I'm not doing so good. That's all right. I'm right here with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to stay here until it gets better. He did say that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's the beauty of our God, is that he said that I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. The world will forsake you, but God will stay with you through thick and thin. My second point is this, is that you have to know your enemy. You have to know your enemy, and our enemy is the devil. I know we don't like to talk about him. we put them in, you know, a little pitchfork and running around, and, you know, you just kind of make jokes about them. But the Bible says this, that the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, that Zoe life. See, when you know what your enemy is up to, it's easy for you to defeat him. It says this right here. The enemy comes to steal your identity. That's why Jesus wasn't confused. I know who I am, but the enemy kept saying, if you're the Son of God, do this, do that. Man, I know who I am. Do you know who you are today? Have you allowed the enemy to come and rob and steal your identity? Identity theft is real. Anybody ever had their stuff stolen? Somebody acting like you? I didn't buy that. I didn't purchase that. They running around. But you know what? The enemy wants to steal your identity. He wants to tell you that you got to be just like them or do just like that in order to be accepted in the world. But let me tell you this morning, you're already accepted, beloved. You're already a part of the children and child of God. You have to understand that God has created you, and you're not junk, but you're something special that he molded and fashioned and shaped you. Even the trials and tribulations that you've gone through, he's allowed so that you can get better and sweeter and more knowledgeable of him. When I go through difficult times, I don't sit there and pout and cry about it. I'm looking, where is God in this? How can God help me? What is God doing in me? What is this situation going to produce in me so that I can become that man of God that he's created me to be? It says that he comes to kill your purpose. Do you know your purpose this morning? Do you know what you were born for? Do you know what you were made for? Do you know that thing that wakes you up in the morning that you can't wait to get out of bed to go do? See, my purpose is to preach this word. My purpose is to minister. My purpose is to love people unconditionally, just like I was loved, and to see them come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. I wake up looking forward to whatever it is God has me to do to help men and women in the city of New York. Love it. I live for it. My phone was blowing up all the holidays. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, man, it's the holidays. Man, I need to be eating some drinking eggnog. I need to take that call. But you know what? I said, no. Somebody did it for me, so I'm going to do it for them. Somebody needed prayer in their dark moment in the holidays, I'm going to pray with them. Somebody just needed to vent and let it out, so I'm going to be there for them. Are you like that with people? Do you understand your purpose? Maybe sometimes people bother you, get on your nerves, but you got to have purpose. What is your purpose today? What is it that you were made for, called to do? To be generous, to be a blessing, to refresh, to encourage, to bear long with. He wants to destroy your mission. And that's what he was trying to do with Jesus. If I can get him off his A game, then I got him. You know, the enemy's scheme is to get you off your A game, to keep you from being and doing what God has made you and created you to do. You know, I remember there was a time when I was in a connect group back in Nashville. I wasn't even a pastor yet. I'm just in a connect group. And we're in this connect group, and it got kind of weird in there. And I remember before that, people were talking about, pastor, there's a call of God on your life. But I had gotten real close to these people in this connect group. I mean, real close. And they had gotten mad at the pastor of the church. And they decided to take their connect group and move it out and go somewhere else. And just like, we're leaving the church. And I kept thinking, wait a minute. I believe God has called me to be here, not to go there. I know my mission and I know my purpose is tied to this house, not to somebody else's house. And I remember all those people left and spiraled out and went their own way. But I chose to stay. And as I chose to stay, I began to understand that God had called me to be a part of something bigger than myself. Something about the nations, something about campuses, something about church planting, something bigger than myself, and that he wanted me to be a part of that. And once I stepped into that, I began to fulfill my mission and my call on this side of eternity. And many of you in here today, maybe you're wrestling with that. Pastor, I don't know exactly what I'm called to do. I don't know exactly what I'm called to be. You know what? Spend some time with the Lord. Get planted in the house of God. Start serving. And I promise you this, as you begin to serve and as you get planted, God will take you exactly where you need to go. See, when you sow into another vision, God will give you your vision. You know, the enemy is known as the father of lies. And he loves to lie to us. It says in John 8:44 that he's the father of lies. What I'm saying is you got to know your opponent. Do you know when the enemy is on you, when he's tracking you? See, the enemy is a master hunter. He's been hunting people for decades, for years. And he knows weaknesses. He knows exactly how to break us, shake us, and wear us out. And that's the scheme of the enemy, is to wear you out to the point where you just give up, you quit, you say, I don't want to do this no more. If God is so good, why hasn't he answered my prayer? So I'm just going to check out. And that's when the enemy says, checkmate. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you fight, if you hold on, if you stay the course, if you be the man or woman of God he's called you to be, and you just keep stepping and you keep fighting and you keep moving forward, eventually the situation will turn, because it always does. It always does. It always does. He's a master hunter. I said that you have to know your enemy, but you also got to know who you are. The Bible says in Luke 10:18-19, it says, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will hinder you. Do you understand that you have authority? See, the same authority that was given to Jesus is given to us. The same things that he did, we can do. He said, greater works you will do. But you have to believe that. You have to know when the enemy is trying to attack, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. You have to know that for yourself. You have to know that for your household. You have to know it when it's going on in your job. You got to know it when it's going on in your relationship. You got to know it when the enemy's up to no good. You know, it's funny because on the front row, a lot of us think, man, all us pastors get along. Do we get along all the time, Pastor Cox? Nope. If you were in a meeting with us sometimes, you'd be like, man, are these people even saved? Do they love Jesus? And it's so funny because anytime Pastor Ron and I start getting after it, you know, we call it that loving fellowship, that intense fellowship. I always stop and say, you know what, we're going to pray. When the team starts, you know, getting everybody's mad at each other, I say, let's stop and pray. Because I always know that the enemy's scheme is to divide. If he can bring division and he can bring strife, and if he can stir up some stuff, all of a sudden we're going to go our opposite direction and nothing will happen. Because where there's unity, God commands the blessing. And so I'm constantly aware of what's going on in the room. No, guys, you know what? That doesn't sound right, because, see, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. As a man or woman of God, if you've gotten so mad at somebody that you let something out, it comes out of your heart, you'd be like, where'd that come from? How did that happen? You try to bring it back, it's too late. It's already out there. You know why? It's because sometimes we got to take care of this, and we know that the enemy's trying to wear us down from the outside because he wants to get on the inside and divide and conquer. You have to know your enemy. You have to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, like it says in Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Flesh and blood, we don't wrestle against, but it's principalities. See, the only thing the devil respects is power. He's not afraid of your degree. He's not afraid of your bank account. He's not afraid of who you know, but he's afraid of Jesus. And if Jesus is in you and Jesus is around you and you got Jesus' people around you, then he's scared, because you're a force to be reckoned with. And that's why when Jesus was speaking this and he stood up and he rolled the scrolls and he said, today, in your eyes, this is fulfilled. In your hearing, this is fulfilled. They got mad and wanted to kill him, because Jesus knew who he was, that all authority had been given to him, and what he had came to do. He was focused on his mission. My last point is this, is that you have to stay the course. The Bible says this. In Proverbs 4:27, it says, do not turn to the right or to the left, but keep your foot from evil. You got to stay the course. So many times, the enemy will try to get us off course. This over here looks better. No, go this way. But no, Jesus chose to stay the course. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. It was joy set before him that he endured the cross. See, he didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it. He stayed the course. Even when they wanted to kill him, he stayed the course. Even when they mocked him, he stayed the course. Even when they tried to trick him, he stayed the course. But I promise you this, when you stay the course, good things happen. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added. When you put God first in your life, you're staying the course. When you put God first, things will supernaturally be added to you. It doesn't make sense. How in the world? Because I went to a connect group, something supernatural took place. I went to a prayer meeting, something supernatural took place. So many times, the places that I did not want to go, but God was already there. When I showed up, I got the answer and the miracle and the provision and the breakthrough that I needed because I chose to stay the course. You know, there's times as a pastor, man, it's like, man, I'm going to the same place, same time, every day. And sometimes it doesn't seem like anything's happening. But when I keep coming and I keep showing up and I keep ministering, the blessing and the breakthrough and the miracles and the signs and wonders always follow. And I just want to encourage you this morning, don't give up. As you get closer to 2020, don't quit, don't give up. Trust God and let him fulfill the blessing and the promise and the breakthrough that he's called you to have and do. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, despising his shame, and now he's seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. And I think about, man, you know, Jesus and all that he endured, the shame, the ridicule, the abandonment from family, people thinking he's crazy. Anybody ever, somebody say you're crazy for going to church? Anybody? Like, why do you go to church? Why do you do what you do? But you know what's watching is people are watching you. They watch everything that we do. They watch when you go and you heat your food up in your office and you sit down and you pray over your food. They're watching. They watch when you show up. Do you show up on time? They watch. They watch, do you leave at the right time or do you leave early? They watch. They watch everything that you and I do. Because they want to know, is the God that we preach and talk about, is he real? Is he real? And see, the reason Jesus was able to fulfill his mission is because he didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. And that's the thing about the mission. The mission is this, is will you walk the walk no matter what? Not just talk it, but will you walk it? Will you stay the course and be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be? And allow the trials and tribulations to test you, to try to break you, to try to shake you. But if you stay the course and you allow God to come in and glorify his name and do the things that only he can do, the healing will come, the blessing will come, the deliverance will come, the child will come back, the marriage will be restored. All the things that you've been believing God will happen if you stay the course and fulfill the mission that God has called you to be and do. You know, I'm pretty sure there was a moment where Jesus probably wanted to say, you know what, man, forget this. I love y'all, but it's time to go back. going home. Y'all crazy down here. Crazy. But you know what? There's something about love. Not just a verbal talk. You know, I love pizza. I love hamburgers. I love that clothes, that perfume. That just, you know, you throw that word out. But I'm talking sacrificial love. I'm talking love where even if I don't get something back, I still love you. See, that's the God that we serve. That's why he was fulfilled the mission. It's because even if people don't believe, it's okay. I fulfilled what I was called to do. I died and I rose again. And I made a way for them to get back to the Father. You know, the last point that I want to make is this. It said that he came to redeem, to take back what the enemy has stolen through tradition and ignorance. Redeem. You know, God wants to redeem some things in this room today. He wants to redeem you and bring you back close to him. He wants you to know him for who he is and not what he can do for you, just for who he is. He wants you to go back to the beginning, back when you didn't care what people thought or said about you. You was just crazy for Jesus. That moment where, you know, I rose early, I stayed up late, I listened to the music, but it was all about him. That's where God is calling you and I back to, that moment. Redemption. So there was a moment, man, where I didn't care. Care what people thought. I raised my hands, I get on my knees, I cry, because I understand what Jesus has done for me. I understand where I used to be or where I could have been, but he redeemed me. He's a redeemer, and he lives. And I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe you feel like, man, God, you know, are you there? Did you forget about me? No, he's still here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. But we change. We change. Sometimes we forget. You know, this morning as we take communion, you know, it's a moment to remind and reflect on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But also it's an opportunity to respond. You know, back in 1998, man, I had an opportunity to give my life to Jesus. And as ushers are passing down the elements as they're coming down, I just want to share this with you. You know, I was very prideful. I was an arrogant person because I had titles and accolades, a little money in the bank, a little profession where people cut the TV on and watch you and cheer your name. I remember a friend bringing me to a church like this, right here. They were raising their hands. I sat way in the back, the very back, because I had one foot in and one foot out. I'm like, as soon as that pastor says amen, I'm running out the door. And I remember as I got ready to hear the amen, I was trying to get out the door. And all of a sudden, this pastor was up here preaching. And I don't know how he did it. It had to be supernatural, Pastor Kaz, because by the time I turned to go left, he was standing there at my right. And he's looking at me. And this is what he said. As I was preaching right here, I was looking at you back there. There's a call of God on your life, and you're running from God. And when he spoke that word to me, it marked me in my soul. And I remember running a little bit, trying to avoid this call, this thing that God wanted me to be and do, the mission. But how many of you know God's pretty fast? Can't outrun God. And what I mean by that is everywhere I went, God would have somebody looking at me saying, hey, there's a call of God on your life. I think you're called to preach the gospel. I'm in an NFL locker room and my teammates are saying, man, there's a call. I leave to go to Europe to play football in Europe, in Berlin, Germany. The teammates, the chaplain, there's a call. I'm like, man, you know what? I'm going to go to Canada. I know he can't find me up here. I'm sitting there in Hamilton, Ontario. Same thing. Coaches, teammates, community leaders, there's a call. Finally, I just said, man, I'm checking out. I'm going to go to the Arena League. They're crazy there. Beer drinking, body slamming. They definitely, Jesus, not going to be there. You're called. And I remember just realizing, I can run, but I can't hide. And I thank God from the 1998 up until now that I said yes. That I said yes to that call. And I hear God calling some of you, maybe not to ministry, but he's calling you to minister. There's a mission for each and one of us in this room. And the question is, will you respond to that mission? Will you be the man or woman of God that he's created you to be? And not worry what people say about you. You know, as I look back over these years, there's guys in the locker room that gave their life to Jesus. There were kids in high school that gave their life to Jesus. There were kids in the college campus that gave their life to Jesus. There are people in the corporate world that gave their life to Jesus just because I humbly say yes. One of my greatest joys in life is when my phone rings and I remember a story of kids and people that didn't want God. Stiff arm you. Pastor, you was a mean man telling me to serve Jesus. Better serve the Lord. But I thank God that you did it because I'm married, got children. I'm serving the Lord, doing great things for Jesus in my company, in athletics, business, wherever it is. You too can have that same story if you just say yes to whatever God's calling you to do in 2020. Yes, Lord. As we get ready to take communion, let us remember the awesome sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for sending your son, your only son, to this earth. And I thank you for the mission to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, to declare the year of the Lord, to be our great redeemer. And I pray this morning that whatever it is that we need in this hour, as we worship and we praise you, that we would enter in to the presence of God in a fresh new way. The Lord, this morning, as we lift our hands as a sign of surrender, we're letting go of the past and we're looking forward to a great future. And so, God, I say this morning, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anoint each man and each woman in this room to be and do what you're calling to do in 2020. Let us worship the Lord.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.